Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, our very special WrestleMania Night 1 recap edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing last night's Night 1 WrestleMania at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversations. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and opinions there as well. We apologize for the late start, folks. We had a very bad windstorm here last night. Did some damage to power lines, and despite the fact that the power company assured me it would be on by 2 o'clock, I did the smart thing and waited to see if that estimate came true. It did not come true, and we're lucky that we got it on at 2:30, so better late than never. I'll tell you something that doesn't lack energy, and that was last night's WrestleMania. Now, was it perfect? No, it was not. And I'll tell you from the jump that I have heard nothing but immensely positive comments, which I appreciate. And I can understand completely because, well, the old adage, if you finish strong, some people don't remember some of the things that happened in between. WrestleMania finished very, very strong last night. Now, there are a lot of people saying to me, don't you think, based upon what happened last night, that Charlotte and Rhea Ripley deserve the main event? No, I don't. It doesn't matter how good the match was. We couldn't anticipate how good the match was going to be. We had to go by storyline. We had to go by interest. And the greatest amount of interest was in Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. And Sami Zayn earned that main event. You cannot tell me that Sami Zayn did not earn that main event more than Rhea Ripley or more than Charlotte Flair. You're not going to convince me of that. And I'm glad that the WWE made the right decision and didn't bow down to the pressure of you have to have a female main event. No, you don't. Why do you have to? There's no reason. You go with the hottest stories. The hottest stories, the bloodline. Both nights. Those are your main events. No question about it. So since we have limited time, let's jump right into it. And let's start out with Austin Theory versus John Cena. Now, as a start to WrestleMania, I said to myself, wow, this is, you know, a big match to start out with. And John Cena came out with the Make-A-Wish Kids, which was awesome. And, you know, I was very happy to see that. But folks, here's the real deal. John Cena was not in shape to do that match. 90% of the time, he was on his back. He did a couple of his five moves of doom things here and there. John Cena did not get into ring shape to do that match. And he knew he wasn't. And Theory helped by basically creating all the motion in that match. And I have a big problem with this match, and I'll tell you what the problem is. If the entire point of this match was to prove to the world that Austin Theory is the real deal, you did not do it. You didn't even come close to doing it. If John Cena coming back was to anoint Austin Theory as the next big thing, the guy who took out John Cena and is now moving forward, you didn't do that at all. As a matter of fact, you left fans with the impression that a 24-year-old kid with all of the skill and determination and talent in the world couldn't get by a 40-some-odd-year-old guy who hasn't wrestled a match in forever. And if anything, you left us thinking Theory's not the real deal. Theory's a phony who resorts to low blows to win. So if that was your actual motivation behind having this match, it failed miserably. Now, was it a decent opening match? Yeah, it was a decent opening match. You had John Cena coming back, the big deal. theory went over as we projected, he probably would have seen it wasn't going to stick around, which I imagine he's not going to. Because if he can't do any better than he did in the ring last night, there's no reason to. Now, if you gave John Cena a couple of months to get in really good ring shape, I'm sure he could. But he doesn't have that time. He doesn't have that time to devote to it. So what he really should have done was pass the torch last night. Should have been a good, solid match with, if this was the only one, should have been a good, solid match with Austin Theory winning clean, proving to the world he's ready. Didn't happen, Mike, so, you know, I'm a little iffy about this opening match on WrestleMania Night 1.
I'm a little bit iffy on this opening match on Night 1, too. But like you said, it's going to get better. And, look, John, it was obvious. And we talked about this on Friday and probably on Tuesday as well. You know, we were speculating on whether or not they were going to be able to get Cena back, you know, and whether or not his schedule would allow it. We didn't factor him not being in ring shape. We were just talking about schedule-wise. And, yeah,
right,
he's not in ring shape, but I tend to believe the reason why that match was the way it was is because, one, it was going to be the way it was. It was going to be him. It was scheduled to be, winning, just not that way. They didn't expect him to be in that ring shape, but they also are not expecting him back for another match, not even tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if they've got something planned for a rematch or if they've got something more planned. I don't know. All I do know is that the Night 1 match didn't prove anything as far as Austin Theory being ready to take on, you know, top-notch competition. As a matter of fact, Tom, it seems to prove the opposite.
I totally agree. I thought this match fell flat. I mean, Austin Theory went over, but he didn't go over. In other words, he just, like, it was an okay match. I don't think that, you know, putting him over and passing the torch is resorting to, excuse me, low blows and biting John Cena's ear. I thought that was kind of corny, and it was hokey. He didn't need to do that. John Cena, the other thing is that John Cena had to know, you know, in December or maybe earlier, that he was going to have a match with Theory at WrestleMania, or a match at WrestleMania anyway. And if you can't devote yourself to get into ring shape, or open your schedule to the, or be able to open your schedule to that, then I think that he should have not been the one to pass the torch, in my opinion.
I think they figured he could just do good enough and let Theory, you know, again, there's going to be a lot of fans who say, oh, I thought Cena did fine. Well, yeah, that's because Theory created all the motion and everything in the match. He let John Cena just do what he's going to do. But yeah, you could tell. You could tell there was a difference. Todd, does this really help Austin Theory in any real way? I mean, it's not exactly like he won clean.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, he didn't really help Austin Theory at all. Well, like you said, with John Cena last night, he was not in good shape to wrestle, ring shape. It looks like he was like running out breathy. He was running down the aisle to the ring. And I was like,
yeah, it definitely wasn't in the shape that we normally see John Cena in. And that's to be expected if you haven't wrestled in that long. You know, is he in shape to lift weights? Yeah. Is he in shape as far as the way he looks? Yeah. Is he in shape to wrestle? That's a whole different thing. You know, I remember Scott Levy Raven saying one time, there's a big difference between being in really good shape and being in ring shape. And the two have nothing to do with each other. And that's unfortunate because that's what we've seen, I think, last night. So I don't know. We'll see if it helps Theory in any way, shape, or form. We then get to the four-team tag match. There were some great spots in this match, folks. Some great spots. One of the top ones, of course, being Ricochet's dive on the outside of the ring, which was awesome. Chad Gable's German suplex of Braun Strowman was awesome. There were some very good spots, and this was a very well-wrestled match. I have absolutely no critique of the match itself, other than it didn't seem like it mattered. It's not a match that you were like, oh, I can't, you know, I hope this team wins or that team wins. It was more of a, eh, we'll see who wins. Now, this was the spot. If you were ever going to do anything at all ever with the Viking Raiders, this was the spot. You didn't, you're not going to. The Viking Raiders now are going to be a hokey act where, unfortunately, Valhalla comes out like they're all powerful and mythical, and then they just get beat, and she frowns, and they walk away. It's beginning to look like a cosplay Renaissance Fair thing now, and it's sad because they have a lot of talent, and they had a lot of potential there. Titus O'Neil came in to do guest commentary and called her Sarah Logan three times, despite the fact that they want to call her Valhalla. So I don't know if anybody cued in Titus about that. Obviously, the Street Profits win. Yeah, you know, I can see the Street Profits winning. But the Street Profits have credibility. Braun Strowman and Ricochet have the credibility. If anything, it should have been the Viking Raiders. No, you don't have to do Alpha Academy because we know they're kind of probably breaking up and stuff. So you didn't have to do Alpha Academy. But, man, this was your spot, in my opinion, Mike, to further the Viking Raiders. And instead, they went with the Street Profits.
Disappointing is the word for this. I mean, this is not the performers. This is the Booker's fault here. This is the WWE's fault. And the fact of the matter is the WWE, this is just another example of the WWE dropping the ball.
Yeah, I really feel that way too. I mean, the Street Profits didn't need the win. I guess that's my point. They didn't really need the win. If any team needed the win, it was the Viking Raiders. Again, Alpha Academy don't need the win. They're probably breaking up. Ricochet and Strowman, they don't need the win. They've already verified themselves as a great team. Street Profits have verified themselves a million times over. Viking Raiders needed this, did not get it, Tom.
Yeah, and, you know, I totally was waiting for the Maximum Male Models, or at least Maxine, to come down and kind of draw Otis away. That would have given a reason for the Alpha Academy to be, or at least, Chad Gable to be distracted. I don't think the Street Profits needed this win. It didn't really help them in any way, except for the pandering of the audience. And if anybody was going to need this win desperately, it was the Viking Raiders. And to comment on Titus O'Neil's commentary, him calling Valhalla Sarah Logan on more than one occasion and referring to Otis as Sweaty Otis. Sweaty Otis thing was kind of funny, I'm not going to lie. But referring to Valhalla as Sarah Logan, that was, dude, seriously, you're not going to, like, smarten them up? That's silly.
Yeah, I was surprised. I really was. I thought Titus would know better than that. I mean, we all know it's Sarah Logan. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, that's not what they want her called. So I'm surprised. Todd, what'd you think? A decent match, but did the right team win this?
Absolutely not. Well, like you said, the Viking Raiders would have won that match, but one of the best moments in that match where everybody was on the ropes, where suplex slash, like the powerbomb type thing last night, that was like a moment
that was a good
in that
spot
match.
Too, yeah. Yeah, they had a lot of good spots in the match. I have no critique of the match itself. The match was excellent. A lot of fun to watch. I wish I was more invested on who would win. Because I kind of knew the Viking Raiders wouldn't. I just knew it. You know, going in, I'm like, yeah, they haven't done anything with them. They're not going to win. And really, you know, do I care if the Street Profits or Braun Strowman and Ricochet or Alpha Academy won? Not really. Okay, they won. It doesn't mean anything. It was sort of a meaningless match. WrestleMania matches should mean something, all of them. This one really didn't. We then get to Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. And, you know, no one is saying Logan Paul's praises any more than me. He shocked the hell out of me at the previous WrestleMania. He shocked the hell out of me in Saudi Arabia. I know he's a great athlete. All you had to do was see him literally jump from the mat to the top turnbuckle and do a moonsault, which is pretty damn incredible. I mean, let's face it. I've not seen any other wrestler do that, not even wrestlers who are supposedly extremely agile and whatever. I've not seen him do that, and he's got to be 6'2", right? So very impressive. He's a very impressive athlete. Seth Rollins, obviously, you know, he comes out with the conductor, which I think was a little weak, to be honest, but okay. He comes out with the conductor, and everybody's singing his song. There's no doubt that Seth Rollins is one of the most over people in this company. No doubt about it. But Logan Paul coming out with his energy drink bottle. You already knew when the energy drink bottle stayed at ringside, this was going to cause some interference. And I was just waiting for it. And sure enough, at some point in time, KSI, who I'm not familiar with, is revealed to be in that bottle. And Seth Rollins beats the hell out of him. Now, one thing I'm a little annoyed about, so let me set the record straight. There are a lot of people on a lot of different shows and a lot of different websites saying, you know what the most impressive thing is about Logan Paul? His timing. Did you see how he flawlessly hit that dive onto the table and didn't wait for Seth Rollins to roll off it? That's not true. He blew that spot, folks. Rewind it if you don't believe me. That's not true. As a matter of fact, I laughed out loud at it because I said, holy God, anyone could see that Seth Rollins wasn't on the table when he did the dive. He should have done the dive about a second earlier. You got to be midway when Seth Rollins rolls off that table. Seth Rollins rolled off the table and then Logan Paul jumped. So don't believe the people who are saying, oh, he did that flawlessly. No, he blew that spot. Now, it's understandable. He doesn't have a ton of experience, but don't lie about it and say he flawlessly hit it. He did not. Matter of fact, the spot looked like hell because of that, and it's a shame because it's a good spot. Anyway, as predicted, Seth Rollins wins. Now, Logan Paul did do a good job on a couple of things. When he hit the knockout punch and sold that his hand was badly hurt by doing it because Seth Rollins had targeted it with the stairs earlier, that was very believable. If you hit somebody, you know, your instinct is, this is my finisher, this is what I do, and you forget, you know, my hand was badly injured, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, man. You know, he did a good job with that, and he's incredibly athletic. But I'm going to be dead honest with you. This was not Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns. It did not reach that level. Now, I don't know if there's real animosity between Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. Seth Rollins says there is. If there is, that might be an excuse for it. They don't work well together because they don't like each other. Now, they work pretty well together. I'm not saying they work terrible together. But this was not the match I thought it was going to be. I thought we were going to turn up a few notches. This was, I think, a half step down from Saudi Arabia and Roman Reigns. All in all, serviceable enough match, good match, some good psychology in it, some good spots in it. Certainly the moonsault dive jumping to the top turnbuckle was amazing. Seth Rollins had some good spots with the multiple suicide dives outside the ring. Overall entertaining, the slight bit disappointing, Tom. I thought it was going to be a little bit better.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be – I thought, to be honest with you, I was going into this match hoping that it would surpass the Roman Reigns match in Saudi Arabia, only because Seth Rollins has been, you know, cutting promos on him, saying he's not in their, he's not in their league, he doesn't belong there, and to almost beat the champion and then come in and give Seth Rollins a run for his money, maybe it was kind of – would be kind of a way to – kind of say, you know, I told you so kind of deal for Logan Paul. It didn't do that. It was kind of, you know, some of the spots were kind of hokey. The guy dressing up as the energy drink, that was hokey. And the conductor thing, that was more for the fans than anything else. I mean, I thought it was, to be honest with you, I thought it was kind of lame. The Logan Paul jumping up to the leaping up to the top rope. I've never seen that. Maybe in Japan or AAA, probably, but not in WWE. That's for sure.
I've watched a lot of AAA in Japan. I've never seen anybody do it. And if they do, they usually do a running start where they get a really good run from halfway across, if not fully across the ring. He basically did it standing still. So there's nobody who's going to, doubt Logan Paul's athleticism or his wrestling ability. He is much better as a wrestler now than he should be. That's obvious. My problem isn't with that. My problem is, let's not lie about things, because that's not going to help. He has to take the critique. The critique is, if you're going to do that spot, Logan, you got to jump a little earlier. And the pacing of the match was fair, but there were some problems. It wasn't a flawless match by any stretch of the imagination. And I know a lot of people are saying this was just extraordinary. I don't necessarily think it was that extraordinary. It was a good, solid match. That's what it was. Was it an outstanding 5-star match? No, it was not. He's got the ability to do it, so does Seth Rollins. Just wasn't it. I don't know where Logan Paul goes from here. I don't know. He claims afterwards that he's done with his contract. That's not true. So obviously he's going to disappear for a while, I guess, again. I don't know. Again, it was sort of, it was fun enough. It's just I was expecting a little bit more. I don't know what the right word for it is. Maybe a little bit different pace, a little more physicality, and a slight bit more psychology. We then get to Becky Lynch, Lita, and Trish Stratus versus Damage Control. And, man, this is the one that baffles me. Really baffles me. Nothing really occurred. This was the spot where Trish Stratus was supposed to turn heel, and it's going to be a big program with her and Lita. They decided, I guess, against that. This was the spot where maybe Bayley gets kicked out of Damage Control. They decided against that. Instead, they decided to go with the philosophy of, this is where Becky Lynch and Bayley finally get their final showdown, and Becky Lynch pins Bayley. Okay. Well, once again, I'm saying, if you're former tag team champions, not even for the tag team championship, by the way, I thought it was. If you're former tag team champions, who maybe lost to the, Lita and Becky because they weren't expecting Lita, and, you could make the argument that, well, they weren't expecting to fight at all, much less fight Lita and Becky Lynch, okay. But now you were expecting it. Now you knew who your opponents were. And if you two or three can't beat two women in their 40s who don't wrestle much, how the hell are you supposed to fear Damage Control? If you are going to turn Trish Stratus, this was the spot in which Lita and Trish Stratus should have had some communication issues leading to Trish Stratus getting pinned and blaming Lita. That's what it should have been. It furthers Damage Control's push. It furthers the push of Lita versus Trish Stratus. It's understandable that Trish Stratus, who hasn't been in the ring in I don't know how long, probably doesn't, isn't able to stand up to women half her age. I see this as, well, we want to make everybody feel good, so yay, everybody feels good. The Legends won. Our current roster sucks. We don't have anybody. It when they did this, Mike, and I don't like it now.
Yeah, I don't like it either, and that's what I'm going to say about that. The only thing I got to say about what Logan Paul did is the only guy that I think could have pulled that off in his prime, that jumping up to the top rope off in his prime, was RVD.
Yeah, maybe. I've never seen him do it, to be honest, but he maybe could have. That's a long way to the top buckle. And then to flawlessly just turn it into the Moonsault, very impressive. Don't get me wrong. That match was impressive. Just that I guess we've been led into a patient of, if he had that good of a match with Roman Reigns, and he had that good of a match at WrestleMania prior with The Miz as his partner, he's had a couple of matches under his belt now, and you think to yourself, wow, he's in there with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is a guy who, even if you're not that good, he makes you look really good. So now we're going to see, like, the best he's ever looked, and I don't think we did. I think we saw him looking good and doing some impressive stuff, but this wasn't his best match. And all aspects of this, it should have been his best match. Absolutely 100% should have been his best match. All righty, let's get to Rey Mysterio and Dominik. This is where WrestleMania begins to pick up. Dominik gets a bizarre entrance where he's being let out of prison, handcuffed. He's in a luchador mask when he gets there. Really good entrance. Rey Mysterio has his really good entrance. The family's at ringside. This is a big deal. And then Finn Balor coming down with Damian Priest just added to the drama of it. Dominik yelling at his family, throwing a drink in his sister's face, adds to the drama of it. They played this off very well. This was by no means a five-star match, and Dominik's not ready to have one of those. Clearly, Rey knows Dominik's shortcomings, and he made sure to play to his strengths and stay away from his weaknesses. Crowd was totally into this because the story is so good. Story's been told so well, the crowd was just, anytime Rey was getting the upper hand, especially when he took off his belt and was whipping him, crowd went nuts. When his mother smacked him, crowd went nuts. Concern on this match, if there is one, is what's next for Dominik and will he maintain that heat? He loses, thanks to Bad Bunny, who I'm assuming they're going to set up to fight Dominik at Backlash. If not, then maybe Damian Priest. But the thing that is most annoying is, why did they not take 5 minutes to have Bad Bunny and Damian Priest have some sort of at least a little bit of exchange before the match? How about Bad Bunny comes over and is like, hey, there's my friend so-and-so, and he blows him off and says, oh, there's the guy who hogs all the glory all the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember when I had to carry you through a match. Tell you what, Big Shot, why don't you go sit at ringside and do your little yap, 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 and don't worry about me anymore, okay? That would have made more sense, because then you could have seen why Bad Bunny said, well, F you, I'm not letting you cheat in this match. Thought Damian Priest was his good buddy. You're going to have to explain why they're not good buddies in order for what Bad Bunny did to make sense. And you didn't do it. So I'm interested to see if they'll do it maybe, Monday, or maybe even tomorrow, tonight. I don't know. Mike, it was a very good match. This is where WrestleMania began to pick up. I just have that one little concern, is that you're setting Bad Bunny up for Dominik. You should have cleared some stuff about the Damian Priest relationship first, because fans remember that.
Right. And also, the other thing that stood out to me is, this was a definite homage to Eddie Guerrero. I mean, yeah. The LWO and the coming out in the low rider and the whole lie, cheat. They even played his lie, cheat, and steal. I was half expecting to see, what's her name?
Vicky Guerrero.
I was half expecting to see Vicky Guerrero in that low rider, you know? I mean, it would have made sense, and would have made all the sense in the world, because they brought Eddie into the thing. They brought his memory into the thing, and, you know, Vicky's there, you know? Vicky's not tied with any wrestling company as we speak. They could have brought her in and done something with her, you know? But that, you're right, and we did. We also got Legado del Fantasma as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah, making them the LWO is a good idea. When they did that on Friday night, I thought that was an excellent idea. This will lead to their popularity a lot more. Even though here's the kicker. Remember when I said the two other guys that are with Escobar, nobody knows who they are? The announcers didn't know who they were. That's how bad it is. You're going to have to flesh those other two guys out a little bit, man. Give them a little bit of a personality. Give them a chance. We need to know who they are. We know who everyone is in Judgment Day. We knew who everyone was in the OC. Every group, you know who everyone is. It can't be Santos Escobar and two random guys. You got to let those guys have their own personality. And you really shouldn't let Damian Priest beat them both up, by the way. I get it that Escobar is the top guy, but those guys need to have a little bit of their own swag, too, or it's not going to work. Nonetheless, satisfying match with a satisfying ending, Tom, so, you know, you can't bitch about this too much.
I have to admit, I got a little emotional when I heard Eddie's music. I thought that was a wonderful tribute to Eddie and his memory for the Mysterio family. Dominic's entrance was absolute gold, and when Ray took off the belt and started whipping his ass, literally, those fans went absolutely nuts. And every exchange they had family-wise was just atomic heat. That was nothing like besides the Bloodline, it was nothing like I've seen before recently. This story, drama-wise, is being told so well that the fans are, you know, 75,000 fans screaming their heads off over a mom slapping her son. Yeah. It's kind of the culmination of it was just amazing just for something that small to get such a good reaction. The fans lost their mind when Ray won. I was kind of hoping for Dominic to win. Honestly, I thought that's where it was going. I don't particularly care for Bad Bunny interfering because you didn't tell a story before. You didn't flush anything out. You didn't give it something for them to kind of feed off. Isn't WrestleMania to end storylines and kind of build new ones?
And besides that, listen, what is Bad Bunny? Okay, you could say, well, Bad Bunny's hero is Rey Mysterio. I get it. But his good buddy and tag team partner is Damian Priest, so you have to somehow juxtapose those two. You don't want to do the one. You don't want to do where Bad Bunny comes over and says hi to Priest and Priest blows him off. Do the opposite. Do Damian Priest coming over and saying, hey, there's one. And he could say, listen, ever since, you know, we did this tagging and everything, I don't even know who you are. I know we don't speak that much English, but he could just say, hey, you know, do it in Spanish. You have to. And blow him off. That way Damian Priest could say, F him, you know. And he could say, I'm with Ray tonight. Now, just how well Bad Bunny couldn't stand to see somebody cheat, so he interfered in a match when he has no right to interfere in anything. So, and that's not the last time we'd see people who should have been thrown out of the arena. I mean, you'd be thrown out of the arena if you did that, right? Interfere. Anyway, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair absolutely tore the house down. Absolutely tore the house down. Rhea Ripley owes Charlotte Flair dinner. I will tell you why Rhea Ripley owes Charlotte Flair dinner. Charlotte Flair sold those back suplexes and things, literally spun around to the point where I believe she broke her nose. I believe her nose got broke during that match. I think it was the second suplex. She sold Rhea Ripley as good as she possibly could. The one thing I've always liked about Charlotte Flair is when she loses, she doesn't necessarily bitch about it, or she doesn't necessarily look like she's, you know, lost her puppy over it. You just kind of, okay, you won this time. Because I think that's kind of what real athletes do, you know what I mean? They might just give a nod to their opponent and say, okay, man, tonight you were better, but, you know, there'll be another time. Always like that reaction. Rhea Ripley was getting the face reaction. I don't know what you're going to do about that. You've got yourself a very interesting situation. One of your top heels in this company, Dominic, is with someone who's fast becoming one of your most popular wrestlers. You may have to address that situation in the near future. But aside from that, this is probably, I have to think about it, but I think I would be willing to say this is the best women's match I've seen in WrestleMania. I really think it is. Because I've seen other really good women's matches, but this one really felt like they were fighting. And a lot of this is thanks to Charlotte Flair, who sold these things to the point where I believe she broke her nose. And Rhea Ripley also did a great job. I just think they lit it up last night. It probably was the best match of the night. And that's why I think a lot of people are saying, should have been the main event. Well, no, it shouldn't have been the main event. Nobody knows ahead of time it's going to be the match of the night. And the story was just not there. What was the story? Rhea Ripley wants to be the champion, and Charlotte Flair wants to retain it. That's not much of a story. We had way better story with the Bloodline. Way better. So, and Sami Zayn earned that main event. Every week, week after week, Sami Zayn earned that main event. So you got to give it to him. Mike, this was probably the best women's match at WrestleMania I can recall.
Right. This is what, almost the middle of the year, right? And I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. This is a match of the year candidate for me. Just because of what Charlotte Flair did. And look, here's the deal. We all kind of want these things to feel like a fight, right? This match felt like a fight. It wasn't just Rhea Ripley. Charlotte Flair looked like she was stiffing Rhea Ripley with her chops. How good this thing looked, you know? Rhea Ripley did a good job selling those chops, but it looked like it was Ric Flair versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, you know, with the chops and stuff. That's what this and then at the very end of the match where he knocks herself out on the ring post. And they do the riptide off the top rope. Man, I mean these two women lit it up.
No question about it. There's no question about it. One of the best, if not the best, women's match I've seen at WrestleMania. Nothing bad to say about this match. It was basically flawless, Tom.
It was flawless. The only thing, and this is a personal thing for me because I see it resulting in injury a lot of times, was the version of the DDT where you spike on the top of your head. I don't like that version of the DDT. I know it looked devastating. But I don't particularly like that version of the DDT. Other than that, that's just my own personal whatever. But the fact that it looked and felt like a real fight. It was very physical. It absolutely looked like it killed Charlotte when she took those back suplexes and spun her around, landed on her face. And the end point where she knocked herself out on the ring post was like, oh man, that was brutal. And the riptide.
Yeah, no question. They did an outstanding job last night. They went out there to steal the show, and they probably did. As far as the spike suplex, the spike DDT, you do it right and you wrap your head, you're protecting the person with your arms. Basically their head isn't hitting the mat. You know, it's your arm that's hitting the mat. usually pretty safe. I'm not too worried about that. Todd, what do you think of this match? Probably the best one of the night.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the match with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, that was one of my favorite matches of the night. And like you said, I didn't like what Tom said with the Spike DDT. I didn't really care for that. And they're lucky they didn't get seriously get hurt with that Spike DDT.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, if you do the Spike DDT right, everything's good. I'm not too worried about that. Okay, we then get to a impromptu match, which apparently Snoop Dogg can make. I don't know what to tell you, folks. Maybe I'm a little behind the times, and I know I'm a lot more rock and roll than I am rap, but here's the deal. I didn't know who anybody was last night that was celebrity. Little Uzi or whatever his name is. I've never heard of that guy in my life. But I will tell you this. If I could make a living like him, getting on a microphone and just going, yeah, okay, come on, uh-huh. He didn't sing one lyric. He was just making noises in a microphone. And he's at WrestleMania. Probably giving tens of thousands of dollars to be there. I don't get it. I get rap, okay? Now, I even get gangster rap. I'm down with all that, so believe me. That I don't get. I don't get a guy who shows up at WrestleMania and just goes, all right, okay, uh-huh, yeah, everybody, and that's it. Okay. I can find a guy to do that out of the audience for free. So I don't know who that was. I don't know any of the celebrities. Snoop Dogg, I know, you know, went over to AEW. Apparently, they don't care. He's back. And, you know, again, his involvement, I don't care. I really don't. I remember when they used to have reasonably, well, Snoop Dogg is a big name, to be fair. Everybody else wasn't. Bad Bunny is. But everybody else wasn't. And I remember when WrestleMania had people that you were like, wow, those are big names at WrestleMania, celebrities, big names. I'm scratching my head saying, I don't know who Little Uzi is. Sorry. And if that's what he does, I'm sure he must do more than that. Because if that's what he does, I don't know how you earn a living doing that. Anyway, Pat McAfee shows up to not as big a pop as you would have expected. This thing with Pat McAfee's getting old. Be a wrestler, be an announcer, be a talk show host, be something. But this part-time nonsense of just coming in once in a while and going over former champions is ludicrous, and I'm tired of it. I love Pat McAfee. I wish he was a full-time announcer. I'm very impressed with Pat McAfee and how hard he works. I know he loves wrestling. I have no axe to grind against Pat McAfee. I think he's great. He should never be going over the Miz. That's a former champion. Snoop Dogg said it best when the Miz was complaining. He said, this is what you do. Well, it's not what Pat McAfee does. How come he beat him? And not just beat him, really beat him. And then some guy from the 49ers gets involved who I don't know. And I'm saying to myself, what the hell, man? What the hell? This is the best you can do? Was there any major surprises? They were promising major surprises at WrestleMania. Well, night one didn't have any. Unless you think Little Uzi is a surprise. I was surprised that anybody can make a living doing that. I'm not trying to put them down, Tom, but, I mean, if you saw that, I'm not exaggerating. There was a whole bunch of background singers on a tape doing the beginning of a song. And the only thing he did live last night is go, yeah, uh-huh, come on, uh-huh, everybody. That's what he did. And have you ever heard of him in your life?
No, I've never heard of him. And his stage name is absolutely clever, by the way. But, you know, I would have done that for tickets to WrestleMania. Give me tickets to WrestleMania. I would have stood on stage and go, yeah, uh-huh, like, stupid. Snoop Dogg making a match, corny as hell, but, you know, he was high. so whatever. And I feel bad for the Miz. I really do. Miz hasn't won anything in a year. They keep talking about his gigantic balls, which is getting old. And
right.
And for Pat McAfee to just – the dude's in a – if he made an open challenge – see, this is what doesn't make any sense. He made an open challenge all week long for WrestleMania, but yet he doesn't come out in ring gear, not even under his suit. So if you know it's going to – at least give it some whatever. But Pat McAfee beats The Miz, a former heavyweight champion – and others, by the way, within an inch of his life. And then some dude who's probably second string of the San Francisco 49ers comes out and gets involved. That just makes no sense. The highlight of this match was Corey Graves absolutely losing his mind. That was more entertaining than the match. To be honest with you, I watched it for that because I was gonna just walk away from it, to be honest with you. Cause...
See, the thing about this is I'm not so upset with the Miz coming out in street clothes. It was very obvious he didn't issue a challenge. It was very obvious he didn't. The gimmick was the Miz lied. He didn't issue any challenge. He didn't want to fight at WrestleMania. That was the gimmick. And then Pat McAfee shows up and just says, well, I didn't see the challenge. That's funny because I'm on social media a lot. I didn't see any challenges. So I'll forgive that. But you can't bury The Miz this bad. You just can't. Now, if that was Matt Cardona or that was Bron Breakker or somebody, I'd say, okay, well, that's pretty good. That's a good way to, you know, bring them in. Pat McAfee is going to go back to doing what he does, Mike, and I just don't see that as being good enough reason to destroy The Miz in this situation.
Yeah, it should have been Matt Cardona. That's who it should have been. And that's the thing. You bring him in as this, we know all this week, all last week, it was, you know, ha, 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 comedy, comedy, comedy with The Miz. Well, juxtapose that with the seriousness that is Matt Cardona. Oh, You said you were challenging anybody, right? And I am anybody. There you go. You know?
I think the fans in attendance even thought it was going to be somebody else, and that's why Pat McAfee didn't get that big pop that he usually gets. I think fans thought this is where we're going to see the debut of somebody big. Anyway, let's get to the main event. And the main event, obviously, is for the Tag Team Championships. You couldn't have had any better of a story here. I'm not going to criticize this match at all. There are two things that I wouldn't have done. The first thing is I wouldn't have made Sami Zayn the Undertaker, by which he takes everybody's finisher 10 times and pops up. You overkilled it. Sami Zayn is not that tough. Sami Zayn couldn't beat Johnny Knoxville, who, by the way, in the pre-show, Johnny Knoxville totally blows his spot and says, I hate Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's a dick. And then I guess somebody in his ear says he's supposed to be a good guy or something now. So he says, oh, well, I know everybody likes Sami now, but he's a dick. Whatever. Whatever. Go back to shooting yourself out of a cannon at 50 years old. Whatever. It just annoys me. It annoys me when you get celebrities involved and don't give a damn and they don't have any knowledge of anything. It's just ridiculous. And annoying, by the way. It's also annoying. But wow, what a match, right? There was so much drama and tension and false finishes in this match that as somebody who has watched this since basically I've been toddling around my house in diapers, there were times when I really honestly thought the Usos are winning this. The Usos are going to win this. I mean, there were certain times in this where I'm like, this is the finish and the Usos are winning. So if they could fool me, and I knew going into this match, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are winning this. You're not ending WrestleMania with the Usos winning. You want to talk about a downer for night two, but they still made me think something's happening. Something's wrong because it looks like they're going to win. Great match by all of them involved. Fantastic performance by all four. Kevin Owens really had a fire lit under him last night. I mean, he was flipping around the ring like he was Rey Mysterio. If there's anything to comment on, it's this. I still say, and I think I'll be proven right tonight, that Jey Uso is not on board. Because despite the fact that him and Sami Zayn were beating each other, he just kept looking like, and he was saying to him, it didn't have to be that way. You were supposed to be my brother and things. And I think the more Sami Zayn doubted and the more Sami Zayn persevered, Jey Uso looked less sure that he was right. And I think tonight you're going to see Jey Uso cost Roman Reigns the title and walk away. Maybe Jay and Jimmy, I don't know. Anyway, this match, was it Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley good? Maybe not, but man, oh man, it was still plenty good. And with the storyline built up behind it, you left the fans with, I mean, they were popping like unbelievable when they won. There's a lot of drama in this. This was done correctly, 100% correctly. And you don't find that very much. You just don't. Wrestling, yeah, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you found that. And we weren't doing so much of this lately. You've handled this storyline correctly. I would argue that this might actually be more dramatic than Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, because Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns didn't really have any cross in with the bloodline that much. It was Sami Zayn and his involvement with the bloodline that caused this whole thing. So this was the big moment. This was a culmination of this storyline. Roman's going to finish it up tonight. But this was it. And that's why this had to be the main event. It deserved the main event. It lived up to its hype, Mike. I thought it was excellent.
I thought it was excellent, too. And look, I do agree with how they ended that match. The multiple halluva kicks. You almost, and look, Jay sold it very well. All three or four times that he did it, he sold it very well. So Sammy needs to thank Jey Uso for possibly rehabilitating that move after the crap show that was Johnny Knoxville. You know, I mean, when he did it to Roman, and then this time. You know, the Usos and Roman Reigns have basically just about rehabilitated that move.
Now, in the chat room, Derek is making a point saying that the 49ers player is actually a star player. That's fine, but here's the deal. You don't just give somebody a favor. You don't just say, oh, well, since you're a big football player and you're coming to WrestleMania, would you like to be involved in it and beat up on our wrestlers? No, I don't want to see that. So let me get this straight. A former champion can't defend himself against a football player. Okay, well, that's fine. Let's see that happen with Brock Lesnar. Let's see that happen with Roman Reigns. Let's see that happen with The Undertaker, with Triple H, with Shawn Michaels. Never going to happen. It would never happen. And you know why? Because they wouldn't agree to it happening. Because they'd say, no, I'm not doing that. Not doing that because that football player should not be able to beat me up. Period. And I agree with that. Now, if that's going to be a professional prize fighter and he just swings at him and knocks him out with a blind punch, okay. That's an MMA fighter who takes him down, okay. It's a football player. He jumped why is he not arrested? That's number one. I just don't like it when guys who have no association at all, you can say, well, Ronda Rousey did it. Well, Ronda Rousey was coming into the WWE full-time. Well, Gronk did it, yeah, but he was coming into the WWE full-time. Well, Bad Bunny did it, yeah, but Bad Bunny's had actual matches in the WWE and is going to have more. This guy's not. This guy's not. So you kind of just did it as a favor. You know, oh, what the hell? Hey, you're showing up at WrestleMania, want to beat up one of our guys? Sure. Don't like it. Absolutely don't like it. So even if he is a star, fine. You know, if you want to get him involved in a little bit of a shoving match with The Miz, and he shoves him back. And because he shoves The Miz back, you know, then that leads to Pat McAfee doing a move on him or something that costs him the match. Okay. Jumping the actual rail and getting involved in the match is ludicrous. And I have no knowledge that this guy's training to be a wrestler. If you said to me, well, he's quit football, he's training to be a wrestler, okay. Well, then you're introducing him. I get it. Or he's going to do matches. Okay. Well, then you're introducing him. I get it. I have no knowledge that he's doing that. And I guarantee you he's not doing that. So why is he there doing this? Not a big fan of that. Anyway, you know what this match was for? This was to just let the fans die down a little bit before the main event. Main event, like I said, fantastic main event. This is probably the best I've seen Kevin Owens look in a while. Kevin Owens has, in the past, looked bored, looked a little bit like he's mailing it in, like he didn't have any, you know, when you don't have anything juicy to do and it's just go out and do a match, it gets real easy to fall into that rut. He understood the drama behind this. He understood the importance of the match. He could feel the crowd's energy. He was very energetic this time around and proved that when you give him something good, then he's excellent and he can excel at it. Same way with Sami Zayn. The Usos, fantastic as always. Didn't expect anything less from them. This was the proper way, in my opinion, Tom, to end WrestleMania. I mean, the crowd was just phenomenal. You could have spent 10 minutes on that crowd, they'd still be cheering.
Oh, 100%. The thing that you said before where they made Sami Zayn look like The Undertaker, taking everybody's finisher 10 times over, I didn't particularly care for that, but it was the right story. It was the right drama. And give credit to Kevin Owens because he kind of just joined the party, if you will. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
He took the energy from the drama. He takes that energy and embraces the energy from the drama and does such a great job with everything he did last night. I have no critique on this match at all. The fans were on fire. The performers were on fire. There were several times, as you said, where I was like, oh, man, they're actually going to have – the Usos are going to win this match. Holy crap. Booker T in the pre-show, which cracked me up because sometimes he comes across as an idiot, but he was like, yeah, I'm going to choose, Sami Zayn and the other guy there. What's his name? What?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know he did. Listen, you know what else they did brilliantly, I thought? Kevin Owens stay on the ring apron first. And the reason I thought that was brilliant is there was some outside chance that Kevin Owens turns on Sami Zayn, right? There was some outside chance that, oh, man, Kevin Owens is going to be like, yeah, you did it to me, now I did it to you, F you. And everybody was waiting for that tag to see when he gets tagged, is he going to go after the Usos or is he going to do something to Sami? And as soon as he tagged in, he ran up the turnbuckle and did the flip and everything, and the fans went nuts because they realized that's not happening tonight. So that was a good idea. Also, Jimmy tagging in Jay to start the match, I thought that was a good idea. Whoever booked this did it very, very well. Very well. And yeah, you could critique it and say, look, Sami Zayn kicked out of way too much stuff for a guy who was pinned by a mousetrap last year. I get it. But I think the story they were trying to tell is he was so determined not to lose that he just rose to the occasion this one time. So I'll forgive it this time because the fans just absolutely ate this up. Now, I heard people say there were people crying in the audience. I don't know about that. I mean, you know, if you go back in WrestleMania history, I think when Elizabeth and the Macho Man reunited, there were a lot of people crying in the audience. That was a moment where I could see people crying. I don't see people crying over this necessarily, but it was emotional, and the emotion felt real. See, that's the most important thing, is the emotion felt real. And they did an excellent job. Todd, what did you think of this match?
you're absolutely right. I think it was a pretty good match, too. And, you know, a lot of fake finishes in that match. And the one thing I didn't care for was Sami Zayn trying to be like The Undertaker, popping up every 5 seconds after he gets hit by something or whatnot. That's the only thing I didn't like.
Yeah, they made him kind of invincible, Mike, but I guess the idea behind it was he was just too determined to lose.
Yeah, and that's the idea behind it, the determination and all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, I can very easily – this is – I'll put it to you this way. This was the second-best match with the top storyline, you know, because I still think the best match of the night was Charlotte and Rhea, but that's neither
yes,
here nor there. It's the best storyline. It's the top storyline going, and it's still going, and we'll get around to this when we finish with this, but this is, because tonight hasn't happened yet, you know?
Right. Yeah, there's more to the story. I think we probably have accurately predicted what's going to happen. The Usos have lost. I imagine they're going to get a dressing down by Roman Reigns tonight, who backstage is going to say how disappointed he is, and they let down the family, and they blah, 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 take his wrath out on them. And at some point in time, one of, if not both of the Usos are going to cost Roman Reigns the title. Let's get to our predictions. Let's start with for tonight. Let's get to our ratings and then we'll go to the predictions. How's that? I thought WrestleMania started out to be honest with you. The John Cena thing is all right. Then you had the tag team match was fine, but I think the wrong team won. Aside from that, it wasn't that important. Logan Paul and Seth Rollins wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but I'm still giving this an A. I'm not going to give it an A+, but I'll give it a flat A because, man, it ended with a bang, Mike, and the last, you know, couple matches, excluding the Miz match, these fans were, you know, on the edge of their seat.
Right. I'm willing to overlook the Miz match because it was something that we weren't promised, but we got anyway.
Right.
It was a surprise.
That's right.
So we weren't expecting the Miz to have a match. We were just expecting him to be the host of WrestleMania. That's it. They gave us something we weren't expecting, so I'm not going to fault them for that match being as poor as it was. But I've got to give it an A because, again, on simply stated, that women's match, one, is probably a match of the year, and two, you know, it went far enough to basically say, look, we can do the same stuff that the men can do.
I'll tell you what, I'll go even farther than that. You're not going to get that match. Let's replace Charlotte Flair. You're not going to get that match with maybe any other. Maybe Bianca. But other than that, replace Charlotte Flair with Becky Lynch. Are you getting that match? No, you're not. Replace Charlotte Flair with even Mercedes Moné. You getting that match? No, you're not. I don't even think you're getting that match with Asuka. This match was only going to happen because of the two people that were in the ring. Simple as that. So, for the people who don't like Charlotte, I don't know what to tell you. You may not like her attitude. You may not like the nepotism you think is there or whatever it happens to be. But, man, you can't deny her ability and her willingness to be physical. You just can't deny it. Tom, what's your rating on night one?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I initially said that that the WrestleMania Night 1 had a lot to live up to following NXT because that was a phenomenal event.
Yes.
But I think they did. I think, you know, WrestleMania did start out. I didn't particularly care for you know, the first match, the John Cena match, but even though it was a decent, match for Austin Theory, the tag team match was, great. I thought it was great. The wrong team won. I'm willing to overlook all that and give this event night one an A plus because I was so impressed with the women's match, and I was so impressed with everything with the drama of the main event that it way surpassed everything else on the card for in order for me to give it an A plus.
I wouldn't quite go that high because I don't think every match was that caliber. But Todd, what's your rating?
I'm going to give it an A, a regular, just plain LA.
Hey, and Mike, I don't remember if I got your rating, so I'll ask you again. What is your rating on this?
I've got to give it an A. I mean, look, it's not just the, those two matches, but the Rey Mysterio thing.
Yeah.
I'm in that
The Rey
match.
Mysterio thing was excellent, too. Absolutely. They finished with a bang. There's no question about it. Throw out the Miz thing because Mike's absolutely right. We weren't promised that. It was just an extra thrown in, so just throw that out. And, wow, it finished with a bang, no question. Anyway, let's get to our predictions. We have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Natalya and Shotzi versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna versus Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. I'm going to go with a hot hand. I know that Ronda's hurt, but I don't see her being a part of this unless she wins it. So I'm going to go with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Tom, what's your thought?
I have to go with the same. I mean, is Shayna Baszler going to be able to carry the team for most of the match due to Ronda's injury? She could get it done. It's the fact that they haven't really given her that opportunity because they make her look like a moron. But I think that's the hot hand. Obviously, you know, Ronda's not showing up if she's not winning. Honestly, WrestleMania this is a big
that's
show.
What I think too. That's what I think too. Ronda Hurt isn't showing up unless, of course, she's going to win. What's your thoughts, Todd? Who wins this?
I want to go with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. You know, like he's.
Yep. Okay, we're going to go through them quick because we ain't got much time. Let's go to Mike. Mike, what's your thoughts on it?
Ronda and Shayna, and I think they still want to do something with Laurel Van Ness or Chelsea Green and the other girls. So neither one of those is gonna take a pinfall in this match.
I hope they do. I actually like her. I don't know if I like the team, but I think Chelsea Green's doing a great job. I think she could actually be something. So I don't know if the team's going to last, but hopefully they do something with her. Brock Lesnar versus Almos. Brock Lesnar's looked bad twice. There's no way he's looking bad three times, Mike. I don't see any way, unless he is literally leaving the WWE, I see no way Brock Lesnar loses.
I don't see no way he loses. It's going to be, and look, if he wins, then we know the contract is done. Damn near a done deal. So I'm going to say he wins, and it's going to be under 10 minutes, probably barely touching five.
I think you're right about that. Barely touching five sounds about right. Tom, what's your pick on Almos versus Brock?
I'm going to go with unless Brock Lesnar's leaving, which he did give interest in leaving and saying he's done, the only way he's done is if the Hurt Business reforms and just beats Brock Lesnar within an inch of his life for him to give the opportunity to open a door to come back later. I'm going to go with Almos on this one.
Wow. Okay, so he's going to go with Almos. Todd, what is your pick for Brock Lesnar versus Almos?
I'm going to go with Lesnar here.
Okay, so let's go to the next one. We have Edge versus Finn Balor, Hell in a Cell. From what I'm hearing, Gangrel and Christian are going to come out with Edge. I'm sure you're going to see Damian Priest and Dominic out there with Finn, even if they don't stay at ringside. I don't know. Logically, Finn Balor should win this, but I don't see it. This feels like it's the end of the Edge Judgment Day feud for good. And if it is the end of the Edge Judgment Day feud for good, I would imagine Edge has to win. So I'm going to go with Edge.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Edge too. And you wouldn't be bringing in Christian. You know, you wouldn't have made the right deal with Tony Khan to bring in Christian for Edge to lose.
That's what I think too, if you're going to go through all that. Tom, who wins this?
You know, I'm gonna go with Finn, only because I think that the Gangrel and Christian being brought out is for nostalgic entrances, entrance purpose. And yeah, okay, so Finn hasn't won in a while, and the fact that he's gonna be there and Edge isn't, I think that Finn should win, and they probably will go with Finn.
I think he should win. I don't think he's going to, because they're ending this feud, and if they do, I don't see how Finn wins it. But anyway, go ahead, Todd, what's your thought?
I'm going to go with Edge.
Okay. So let's go to the Intercontinental match, Gunther versus Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. You know, there are people saying Drew McIntyre is not signing with the WWE. He hasn't signed with the WWE yet. He has almost a year left on his contract. Calm down. I think we've called this one. Gunther's going to move on to go for the heavyweight title eventually, and they need to get him away from this Intercontinental Championship. Sheamus has never had it. Him and Drew McIntyre are going to obviously feud in this, but then I think at the end, Drew McIntyre's going to get pinned. He's going to hug Sheamus. They're going to hold each other's hand up, and Sheamus is going to be your new Intercontinental Champion, the only championship that's eluded him through his career, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I think so, too, and there's a possibility that Monday or Friday that Sheamus comes out and says, I'm going to retire, but again, this is going to be his last run. This is going to be Sheamus' last run, and yeah, he's going to win. He's probably, now again, this is going to be another one of these matches that is like the Charlotte Flair match. You know, it's going to be very hard hitting, very fast moving, and I mean, it's going to be these three guys match up with each other really well.
No question. This is going to be a barn burner, no question. Let's go to Tom. Tom, what's your thoughts on this?
For sure, I'm going with 100% Sheamus, only because they built this up to be that with the promos he's been cutting. And also, if this match is going to be a physical, brutal fight, like it was at Clash of the Castle, I want to see another one of those matches. And the only thing I got to say other than that is that I hope they don't open with it. I hope they don't make it the first
one. I don't think they will. Todd, what's your thoughts on who wins this?
I'm going to go with Sheamus to win this. He never had an Intercontinental Championship in his career at all.
Yeah, that's why I'm going with it too. Okay, Bianca Belair versus Asuka. Man, they got a lot to live up to, don't they? And don't think for one minute that they didn't watch that Charlotte Flair match and say, and Rhea Ripley match and say, okay, we got to turn up the juice. I expect them to tear the roof off this place. Do I expect them to come up with a better match? Probably not. But man, I bet you it's close. I'll bet you it's close. Because they're very competitive that way, and they're both extremely athletic, and both of them are capable of it. I do think Bianca Belair retains. I don't think they want Asuka to have the belt right now, so I'll pick Bianca. What's your thoughts, Mike?
Right. Look, we knew that match between on night one was how that match was going to end, right? We knew that. But still, those two women gave us probably really a match of the year candidate. I'm going to expect the same type of match from these two women. These are two very good athletes that can get the job done in the ring, that we know how hard a hitting, how hard a hitter, you know, Oscar is, and we know what type
right.
of athlete Bianca is. So, yeah, Bianca's going to win, but this is going to be another one of those matches that it's going to look and sound like a fight and feel like a fight, and it's going to be another one. I'm going to predict it now. I'm going to be saying the same thing on probably on Tuesday about this match that I said on today about the last one, a match of the year candidate.
I think you might be right. There's going to be that competition, you know that, Tom, with Asuka and Bianca saying we got a lot to live up to and going out there and trying to do it.
No question. They do have a lot to live up to, but Asuka is absolutely brutal with her striking ability, which is something I dig about her a lot. And Bianca is a phenomenal athlete, and she's really come a long way from when she first came up.
I love them both,
but I'm going to go with Bianca.
Yeah, I think so too. Todd, Bianca or Asuka, who do you think wins this?
I'm going to go with Bianca Belair.
So we're all in agreement on that. Well, it comes to the main event, folks. I'm just going to do it this way. Is there any way, shape, or form Roman Reigns keeps this title? I have racked my brain for a way that Roman Reigns maybe somehow sneaks by Cody Rhodes, and I can't think of one, especially since he's saying he wants time off. Now, he walked that back. And I think the reason he walked that back is because he realizes I've just basically given away the ending. And said, oh, no, you know, they throw enough money at me. I'm glad to stay. He's not glad to stay. He's already got enough money. He's leaving for a while. I think this is it. You don't end WrestleMania night with Roman Reigns winning this title, Mike, in my opinion. What's your thoughts?
Unless they pull something where our theory is, we know what our theory is. Unless they pull a swerve and have the Uso super kick, you know, Cody Rhodes, basically that would be my dusty finish, you know, screwing Cody Rhodes instead of, you know, whatever, then we can have something. But that's not the storyline. The storyline is what the storyline, what we said it is, right? Or
the thing about that is I don't think they'd ever let WrestleMania be a screw job ending like that. Oh, the Usos interfered and Cody loses. And then the fans all go boo and that's the end of WrestleMania. I think what you're going to see is the Usos come down, going to look like they're going to help Roman, and instead they're going to super kick him. Which is why I didn't want Sammy to kick out of 45 super kicks, but okay. And I think that's going to finish him off right into a crossroads, and that's it. That's what I think is going to happen. Tom, what's your thoughts on Roman Reigns and Cody?
Yeah, it's definitely Roman on this one for sure, especially if Roman dresses down the Usos, giving them, you know, opening the door for them to come down and try to get back into his good graces. And oops, we accidentally, quote unquote, super kicked, you know, the tribal chief. And that's how it goes out. If Roman somehow pulls this out and screw Cody, those fans will lose their minds, and not in a good way.
I know. That's what I'm thinking, too. I don't think they want WrestleMania to end that way. Todd, what's your pick?
I want to go with Cody to win the match, the main event match, and be the new WWE Universal.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement. Now, let me give you this. Gangrel may have screwed up in an interview. In an interview with Gangrel, they ask him about what do you think the deal is with, you know, Bobby Lashley not having a WrestleMania match and everything. And he said, oh, I thought he was. And they said, well, no, he was. He was supposed to fight Bray Wyatt, but Bray's injured or possibly ill or we're not really sure what. And he said, no, I mean, I thought like the gimmick was they were going to have Bray lose and then come back as the Fiend. And instead of that, they're just going to have him come back as the Fiend tonight. Oh. And there was a hushed silence from people for a couple of seconds. Bobby Lashley may call somebody out tonight. And if Bray Wyatt isn't really injured, and if Bray Wyatt isn't really ill, we may have all been played. We may have been played into saying, oh, the reason Bray disappeared is because he's ill, he's injured, he's not happy with creative. Maybe the reason is they've given up on this gimmick and they're just bringing back the Fiend. Roof will blow off that place if it does. But then Bobby Lashley's got to lose, and that's probably not the greatest idea in the world. But Gangrel would be somebody who's on the inside of this a little bit. And he might have let the cat out of the bag, Mike, because that's exactly what he said. He said, well, I was led to believe that Brock Lesnar turned down the match. And the gimmick that they were doing was Lesnar was going to destroy Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was going to leave for a few weeks or a month and then come back as the Fiend. Brock turned the match down, so they passed it to Bobby Lashley, who was going to destroy Bray Wyatt, and then Bray Wyatt was going to come back as the Fiend. But maybe they've just changed it to Bray Wyatt leaves and then comes back unexpectedly as the Fiend. He might have let the cat out of the bag a little bit there, Mike. That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. And like you said, because he's been brought in to do what he's doing, he's now currently on the inside at this point in time, and he would know, I guess.
You'd think he'd have some information. I hope he didn't blow it, because if that happens, they're going to be mad at Gangrel, I think. They're going to be like, dude, what are you doing? You know, you can't be given inside information like that. Now some people are saying, it's going to be Bron Breakker. Some people are saying it's going to be Matt Cardona. Some people are saying it's going to be returning AJ Styles. Or it's going to be, we don't know. But there's a very, very strong possibility that Bobby Lashley does indeed have his match tonight, Mike. Or let me go to Tom.
Yeah, and I fully expected Bobby Lashley to, especially coming off winning the Battle Royal. I feel like Booker T. Coming off the Battle Royal, I fully expected to call somebody out tonight. Now, Gangrel, this is why I'm kind of mad, because Gangrel has been in the business I don't know how many years, and should really know not to even give an opinion on, even if he's on the inside, to kind of just, you know, regardless, inside information, or even, like, you're on the inside, just don't say anything.
Yeah, now there's some other people who are saying it's going to be Eli Drake, which, of course, would be L.A. Knight. You want to give Eli Drake. By the way, when Eli Drake was thrown out of that Battle Royal, L.A. Knight was thrown out of that Battle Royal, Mike, did you hear the fans?
Yeah, they were not happy. They were
that
not happy.
That said something.
Yes, they love this guy. I mean, we've said it before with this guy. This guy could be Roddy Piper.
Yeah, there's no question the fans are behind him. I couldn't believe it. When he got thrown out of that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, you would have thought they dumped Daniel Bryan out of the Royal Rumble that time. I mean, the whole audience is booing. I'm like, whoa, what the hell? I mean, you got to sit up and take notice of that if you're WWE, because they've done nothing to get him over. He's just over. He hasn't won anything. And he's over. So hopefully the WWE does something about that. But, Todd, what's your thoughts? Bobby Lashley have a match of some kind tonight?
I, like you said, to me, I believe he's going to probably have like an open challenge to somebody from the back locker room area.
Yep. I think so, too. If it's the Fiend, Gangrel's probably no longer going to do anything for the WWE ever again. If it's Bron Breakker, he's got to win. If it's Matt Cardona, I guess he doesn't have to win. If it's LA Knight, he certainly isn't going to win. Either way, at least he'd be a part of WrestleMania other than the WrestleMania SmackDown. So this will be very, very interesting, folks. This will be very interesting. And on Tuesday, we will have a special longer show to encapsulate not only the Monday Night Raw following WrestleMania, but of course the second night of WrestleMania. So join us Tuesday at noon, and we'll be doing noon till probably 2 with this special WrestleMania Night 2 and WrestleMania Raw report. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the second night of WrestleMania, and we'll see you then.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. WrestleChat Radio.